you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin. Hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think that by this is a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know. They're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Happy hump day, everybody. It's Crab Diving Live, racing at you from Los Angeles, California, Koreatown, US of A. It's a couple minutes after 2 p.m. out here in the zone of time that is Pacific. A little bit after 5 if your ear holes are sucking us in out east. If it ain't that time, then perhaps you are listening to us as a rerun on the 20... I'm all discombobulated. On the Crab Diving Network 24/7.
You've been watching too many episodes of Vikings. Or, the zone of that is Pacific.
Or you've downloaded us as a podcast at iTunes and Stitcher, crabdiving.com.
Hail Odin!
However, your ear holes receive us. We appreciate the hell out of it. We're going to be here for the next couple hours. Already slap happy. My name's Patrick Vile.
My name's Ryan Pfeiffer. Hey, look at our Twitter. Look at the picture I put up to promo today's show. The picture of Trump.
Follow us on the Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes. Tweet us during the show, actually, at Crab Diving. One word, C-R-A-B-D-I-V-I-N-G. You know what that looks like is...
What was
it's
that?
Almost, it almost looks like when Rick Perry was getting ready to opening fuck the bottle of maple syrup that he was given. Remember,
you seen those pictures of Rick Perry sword swallowing the corn dog?
Yeah,
that man can handle meat. What is he doing there? Like, what is the
context? Was making
of that
fun
picture?
I remember what it was. He was making fun of the people that were attacking him for water or something like that.
What a fucking,
either that or you know what it
what
might
an
be.
Asshole.
It also could be when he was making fun of Rubio
was
during
it?
The primaries for
drinking
he
water.
Yeah, because he was always so parched. Remember during the primaries at one point,
wow.
He said, "I was standing there. I look over at little Marco, and he was drenched. He was covered, and I felt so bad for him." It's like
he's making fun of another human being.
I can't wait
for drinking water.
I can't wait for the debate.
It's not going to happen
unless he pussies out. Yeah, he's you know already making making waves about that. Podesta.
Why would he do it? Why would he debate?
Leon Podesta over at the Hillary Rodham Clinton killery.
Lock her up.
Apparently a wide swath of bodies in her wake. There's a new one, by the way. She killed somebody else recently.
Oh, did she really? What's she killing with? His song?
Right.
Isn't that a great song?
I don't remember where I was going with
sorry.
It. But no. I threw myself
she
up.
She killed someone.
Talking about Killery.
There's murder on her hand. Where did she do it? With the candlestick?
That's one of the latest, though, is that some staffer over at the DNC was inexplicably killed in his neighborhood, shot, wasn't robbed, interestingly enough. Now they're saying...
Did she do it?
They're saying that he might have been the one that leaked the emails to Uncle Nipples,
who
gave them to Julian Assange. So, of course, when Hillary Rodham Clinton and Bill Clinton found out about that, Hillary donned her ninja costume.
Oh, yes.
And slipped out into the middle of the night.
She made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Or whatever.
And Roger Stone.
Oh, yes.
I just saw today an article that said Roger Stone says Hillary... has four more bodies recently. They killed four people recently, according to Roger Stone.
You know, the best thing about Roger Stone is all that credibility he saddled with.
Well, I mean, how credible can he be that when he was hawking his book about the assassination of JFK that he did our show.
Oh yeah,
on a wrestling network. How sad
he was a good guest,
for him
though.
Well, yeah, we didn't get him off track. We just kept him on the on the JFK.
I've got some questions that if we ever get him back on the show that I want to ask and follow up. How often do you think he's got to get that Nixon tramp stamp touched up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did he come up with cunt?
Oh yeah. What is that?
Citizens United, not timid. It was a pack against an anti-Hillary Clinton pack.
What a fucking asshole.
And it's just a coincidence that it's spelled out C-U-N-T.
You know, I'm surprised that Trump and Roger have to keep their relationship, you know, on the down low. They just seem like a perfect fucking fit for each other, don't they?
Well, yeah, he's one of the unofficial spokesmen out there. He's out rolling around in the slop with InfoWars with Over with Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we have Roger Stone on. Remember that that video of, we played it on a previous Crab Diving, go to crabdiving.com, but of moronic, giggling little schoolboy Alex Jones,
you know,
sneaking into the coverage at the DNC from the Young Turks. They were shooting video, live video, and all of a sudden Alex Jones shows up with his own camera and a wireless mic, and he's like, "Hey, hey, how's it going? Did you see my t-shirts? Hillary, Hillary."
They were having so, you know, they were having so much fun. You know, I liked them. It was like I was watching 2 8-year-olds on the playground, but they're horrible people. I'm just saying, like, they just seemed they were having a good time, man. They were having a ball, having a blast over there.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studios, high atop the Crab Diving Tower, Los Angeles, California. Dateline, August 10th, 2016.
The year of our Lord!
These are your headlines.
Go fuck yourself.
Over at the Commie Pinko Liberal,
it's
Huffington Post.
Look, you are.
We're going to talk about this anyway. The Department of Justice has released its findings.
Hand release.
Into what was going on in Baltimore.
Oh, shit.
As to whether there was, you know, police misconduct, racial profiling.
Is this Freddie Gray?
Blatant racism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Ooh, wee, wee.
And the answer is, oh, fucking yeah.
That's right, baby.
All of the above.
They're hateful as fuck over there.
We heard a little bit of Rush Limbaugh earlier, who was talking about this story. And he was trying to white-splain it, of course, and say that it's just the evil federal government trying to step in again and take over local residents and the people who don't know what's going on taking over. In other words, the Negroes are taking over the city.
Oh, absolutely.
Of Baltimore. Gasp.
Explain it to me, oh great white one.
Here are some of the most shocking parts
Shocker.
Of the Department of Justice's report on Baltimore police, according to the Huffington Post.
Fuck you.
One woman with a broken headlight ended up being publicly strip searched.
What the fuck?
There's another case of a black officer with a reputation for speaking out over misconduct who ended up being harassed by supervisor.
Super.
They placed signs warning him, stay in your lane, mind your own business, on his desk.
Okay. Jeez.
One officer decided not to report a colleague who planted drugs. He saw somebody plant drugs.
What does that do to somebody?
He feared retaliation from the rest of the force.
Dude, somebody plants, I don't know, a little baggie of cocaine or crack or something.
But it was probably on a black person, so it's okay. They were guilty of something.
That can give somebody extra years in jail.
Well, of course.
Wow. Are you sure you're not referring to The Wire, all the seasons?
It sounds like
episodes?
It.
This is for reals.
One officer harassed a mother and her son outside their home and ultimately arrested the kid for loitering. out in front of their own house.
Oh, that's nice.
Loitering.
Wait, loitering at your house where you live.
Right. See, this is the problem, is a lot of these charges are dropped. It's just cops being assholes. They're not held accountable for bad arrests.
And then you have to go through the process.
Right. Or for arrests that all they're doing is punishing you. How dare you talk back to me? Now you're going to spend hours in jail, asshole. And you got to get a lawyer. And you're going to get out of it. But nothing's going to happen to me. So nothing happens to these cops.
You know, it's kind of funny. So what's the answer? You send somebody to a class to re-educate them or something? You're going to teach some old cop who's been a fucking racist his whole life, abusing his power? Oh, hey, we're going to have you take a class. It's going to last 3 weeks. It's going to be at 1 hour in every afternoon. That should fix you. You know,
somehow in their own, you know, this bullshit of, well, we're investigating ourselves.
Oh, yes.
We've found ourselves to be guiltless of anything. Oh, yes.
Have fun, pervs.
We were quite thorough.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of the ones that they investigated themselves on was 60 times they found that officers were accused of using the N-word. And the Baltimore Police Department decided that it wasn't a racial slur.
Okay, but hold on a second. He used the N-word. Did you say that? What was the context? Was he reading like Uncle Remus?
Hey,
like,
my N-word? Yeah. Was he reading, I'm sure, like, they were having a story time.
A little more Mark Twain for me. Jeez.
Yeah. Atticus Finch walked down the street.
Oh, yeah. Harper Lee.
Part of the report says, because of this, we manually reviewed the narrative descriptions of a subject of complaints that were not classified as alleging racial bias. We identified more than 100 examples of officers alleged using racial epithets, slurs, and making threats when interacting with African Americans in that subset. Indeed, we found 60 separate allegations between 2010 and 2016 that officers used the word, I'm quoting.
Quoting alert!
Actually, I'm not going to. This is a legal document. Yeah. N-word.
Legalese.
That were not classified as complaints,
you know,
alleging the use of them, of racial slurs.
Okay, these complaints, the way they word all this shit, it makes it sound like there's some... It's civilized on some level, any of this. And you know it's some asshole cop going, hey, N-word, you know.
These are...
put your hands up or I'm going to shoot you.
From a story at the HuffPo, here are some of the most shocking parts of the Department of Justice's report on the Baltimore Popo.
Yeah.
And
are we surprised?
All the racist apologists are already out.
Fuck you.
One officer used a taser on a man who was yelling and swearing. In his report, the officer said... The man's weapon was his mouth.
Okay. Wow. Shit. What are you going to do with that mouth?
He hurt the officer's fifi. The officer felt threatened by the man's mouth.
Oh, no. He's saying words to me. Wasn't he wearing emotional Kevlar? I mean, come on, man.
Was he blowing him at the time?
Oh.
I was worried he was going to get a little toothy.
Yes. Aren't cops trained to de-escalate situations?
Well, interesting you should say that, because the next instance says that just the whole mentality of the Baltimore Police Department is kind of like an us versus them war zone. One officer, we found a prevalent us versus them mentality that is incompatible with community policing principles. When asked about community-oriented problem solving, for example, sorry, I'm having trouble reading this because it's tiny little micro fucking.
You know
writing.
What, guys? Put the font a little bigger. Why wouldn't you do that? What website are we reading
Let's see
from?
If I can make this bigger.
What website is this?
Oh, I solved it with technology.
Who is this?
It's HuffPo with screen caps of these rulings.
Can you make it more legible?
We found a prevalent us versus them mentality. Blah 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 blah. One supervisor responded, I don't pander to the public when asked about the community-oriented problems.
Aren't they supposed to pander to
people
the public?
The people are a little upset that you're beating them and killing them. and are nasty to them without merit.
What's the
I don't pander to the public.
Yeah, you do. You're supposed to protect the fucking public. And what's the point of...
Supervisor, by the way.
What?
Supervisor.
Jesus. So that fucking attitude trickles down, do you think?
That's the only shit that trickles down in from any of these Republicans.
Oh, that's true.
Racism, hate, yeah. Abuse.
Xenophobia, shittiness.
Another supervisor, according to this report, another supervisor conveyed to us that he approaches policing in Baltimore like it is a war zone. A patrol officer, when describing his approach to policing, voiced similar views, commenting, quote, "You've got to be the baddest motherfucker out there," which often requires that one, quote, own the block. They're a gang. They think they're a gang. They've turned into... It's fucked up.
It ain't right.
And you can't apologize for that. You can't say, well, look what they're in. Look at those rampant Negroes running around killing each other and killing all the cops and murdering and raping white girls.
I mean, they're supposed to be a part of the community protecting their own community. I thought that was the whole fucking point. I mean, if the cops solely exist.
That's where they're lost, yeah.
If the cops solely exist to just protect other cops, then what are they doing for us? Aside from generating money, you know, they're just generating income. That's all they're doing.
And they're like, well, they're in a war zone. Well, they're exacerbating the war zone. They're not helping alleviate it.
And why?
They're contributing to it, if not downright helping create it.
And why is it a war zone in the fucking first place?
You've got to be the baddest motherfucker out there. That's a cop. You know what he looks like? Short sleeves. That are stretched too tight because he's been working out way too much.
Oh, yeah.
With the roids coursing through his body. Tiny little testicles the size of BBs.
His hair, high and tight. You know what I mean?
Protecting and serving.
Yourself.
Andy Griffith didn't even carry a gun.
No.
He didn't have black people.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, they did.
Quit looking at cops on TVs and whatever in movies for your fucking role models. Look at that guy... Officer Friendly, McFeely, whatever his fucking name is from Mr. Rogers. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
What was his name?
Mr. McFeely.
Mr. McFeely. Was it really Mr. McFeely?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not McFeel me. McFeely.
I know. McFeely. That's your role model. Not Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue, you fucking asshole.
Meow, 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 meow.
That wasn't him. That was Meow, Meow, Pussycat, right? He's dead. Fred, what's his face? Dead. Mr. Rogers is dead.
Many others in the department, including high-ranking officers, view themselves as enforcing the will of the silent majority. So they're saying all the white people in Maryland want us to beat the black men down.
Why?
In the hood.
How does this make our planet better?
Because that's their policing. That's how they're not about rehabilitation. They're not about community policing. They're not about, I don't know, maybe addressing the economic problems and the systemic racism problems. No. Surround them with troops and beat the shit out of them and cull the herd when there's no cameras going now.
Damn, man.
That's the racist mentality. These cops think
that
they go on the Twitter and they get thousands of White Lives Matter hashtags going.
Oh, God.
And they think the majority is with them.
I don't think on this planet if you don't understand Black Lives Matter, there's no time for you. Go figure it out on your own.
Yeah,
No one from here on out. If you understand Black Lives Matter, don't explain it to anyone else.
What about my life?
Yeah. Fuck your life. How do you like that? Why don't you have somebody shooting at you, treating you like an animal in your own fucking neighborhood? A cop owns the block you live on? They're not an occupying fucking force. Well,
they think they are. They think it's fucking streets of... What was I thinking? I don't know. I'm thinking of a movie that
streets
has gangs
in
it.
Gangs in New York. Oh, God. That movie was so much blood. Good God, it's so gross.
Emails between a prosecutor and a police officer were uncovered where the prosecutor called a woman who said she'd been sexually assaulted, quote, a conniving little whore.
And that's helpful.
And the officer replied, LMAO, I feel the same. These are prosecutors. They're supposed to be going after the person that assaulted her.
Good
Lord. Or no, she said she was sexually assaulted maybe by a cop. Maybe that's the deal.
But still, LMAO.
No, this is just a woman who reported a sexual assault. It's not even against a cop. This case is crazy. I'm not excited about charging it. It was in the email. The victim seems like a conniving little whore.
Oh, my God.
Pardon my language.
Yes.
The BPD officer replied, LMAO, I feel the same.
What did he say? No, what? What did he say? A conniving little whore and then some.
Pardon my language.
Pardon my language.
In parentheses.
Oh, God.
Officer's own reports describe this facially unconstitutional conduct of just stopping people without any evidence of a crime.
God damn it.
Except for the fact that they're Negroes.
Hey, you fucking cops out there, when you see people walking around, they're not there for you just to pull over and shake down all willy-nilly. These people are going places. They're going to work. Maybe they're going to have fun.
According to the report. For example, an officer in the Northeast District noted in an incident report that he observed a 22-year-old African-American male walking through an area known to have a high rate of crime and drug activity.
Oh, shit.
After watching the subject turn into an alley, the officer, despite possessing no specific information indicating that the man was involved in any criminal activity, stopped and questioned him. The officer's report does not identify any evidence of wrongdoing uncovered during what they call a Terry stop, which is from a...
What is that?
Terry versus some...
Terry
some
Gar?
Police. It was the... It was a Supreme Court decision that kind of said you can't just stop people for walking down. You got to have a reason to stop.
It's not fucking
a
Russia.
Citizen for walking down the street. Nonetheless, the report explains that the officer transported the man to the Northeast District headquarters to properly identify himself. So they just plucked a guy off the street no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
He said the subject was reluctant to give any information about himself or his actions. Guess what he doesn't have to do? And this is where the cop lickers and the servile boot suckers out there will say, well, if an officer asks you who you are, you have to tell him who you are. No, you really don't. If they have no reason, your answer to that is, am I being suspected of a crime? And if they say no, you say, have a nice day, officer. You can walk away.
Shit.
Now, of course, you can't do that because they'll shoot you. Or they'll claim that you were reaching for something.
Yeah, reach around.
Listen,
man,
beat the snot out of you.
When you talk about all this shit and then you put it in the context of what happened to that poor Freddie Gray.
Right.
Well, I get it. So what happened? If I remember correctly.
He's dead.
What happened with Freddie Gray? The cops wanted to stop him. He ran.
No, they saw him. They were doing something else.
Right.
And they saw him look at them and run.
That's all. And then they apprehended him and threw him in the back of the fucking thing, right?
And yeah, and subsequently his neck was snapped.
But I get, like, when you talk about what's going on in Baltimore, you might understand why somebody would run for the cops.
Right.
They don't want to get shaken down for nothing. And then having to pay a fine? Jeez.
After the detention of this man, they uncovered no evidence of any wrongdoing. They finally released him. So this guy's just plucked off the streets, thrown and detained, and they're like, you can go.
That's fucking insane.
Hours at the police station. The stop, according to the report, lacked suspicion, reasonable suspicion at the outset. It far exceeded the temporal limits, even valid for Terry stops. I guess they give you, according to the policy, officers are supposed to contact supervisors when a Terry stop lasts for more than 20 minutes. I'm sure that happens.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Hey, my watch broke. Sorry.
I'm sure they're real, real cognizant of what the citizens' rights are, who they've stopped.
The battery on my body cam just went kaput. Sorry.
But nonetheless, a supervisor signed off on the incident report describing the unlawful stop and detention. So the officer was just like,
damn,
yeah, fine.
Man.
Fine.
Yeah, who cares? Fuck it. I don't give a shit. We don't see anyone as people but us.
During a... Oh, my God. During a Department of Justice ride-along, a sergeant told an officer, just make something up to justify a bogus stop.
Is this Groundlings?
What? What? In some cases, the unconstitutional stops result from supervisory officers' explicit instructions. During a ride-along with Justice Department officials, a BPD sergeant instructed a patrol officer to stop a group of young African-American males on a street corner, question them, and order them to disperse. When the patrol officer protested that he had no valid reason to stop the group, the sergeant replied, then make something up.
Oh, my God. What do you make
with,
up?
With a DOJ ride-along. The people watching them. And the sergeant was like, oh, okay, just make something up.
What did the DOJ person say? Did he have anything to fucking
well, they're
say?
Just watching. I would assume he didn't say anything. But the cop, even the officer, was like, well, I don't have a reason to. And the supervisor said, make something up.
What
the
is that?
The supervisor.
So what is that when the supervisor says that in front of someone from the DOJ? Is that arrogance? Is that him just not realizing what he's doing is wrong?
I think profound stupidity. Yeah, and it's obviously part of a systemic breakdown. Fish stinks from the head.
Yeah.
So keep going higher, higher. And you'll find out what the hell the fucking problem is with all these
guys. You know, maybe we'd be better with the cast of The Wire policing Baltimore. All those fictional characters and all the horrible shit they did. I mean, how far off were they from Baltimore? I mean, not that fucking far off the mark, man.
One commander instructed a sergeant to tell her officers to, quote, lock up all the black hoodies in her district. The sergeant objected and refused to follow this order. She then received an unsatisfactory performance evaluation and was transferred out of the unit.
Okay.
She filed a successful complaint about her evaluation with Baltimore Police Department's Equal Opportunity and Diversity section.
Yes.
But they never took action against a lieutenant for giving any order to target black hoodies for enforcement.
God.
So she might have gotten some cash out of the deal or whatever,
right?
And gotten her bad review expunged.
Okay.
But they never went after the lieutenant who gave her that illegal order in the first place, and that's why she rebelled and was subsequently singled out, you know, and punished for that. This is what's going on. And you Ferguson... I'm sure now they're looking into
New York or with Eric Garner
down in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Or Baton Rouge, I mean, Louisiana. Now they're looking into Baton Rouge.
You know, the only reason anyone's looking into Baltimore is because of that high profile case.
That's Freddie Gray.
And the thing about all these tinier cases.
The only reason they looked into Ferguson was because of Mike Brown. The only reason they looked into was at Cincinnati. Was because of...
Is that you talking about the guy that stood on top of the car and fired down into the windshield? Or is that
a
different
one? That's
a
different one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or was it Cleveland? Oh, and I've forgotten his
Cincinnati
name
Cincinnati was the guy standing on the hood of the car firing firing down
over and over and over,
But like, so... I mean, should we just assume this shit is happening everywhere? And I'm not trying to be an asshole, but really. I mean, in L.A., was it last summer or this year? The cops... killed a mentally handicapped person that was in custody?
No, yeah.
I mean, it's all over.
A white officer allegedly threatened a black teen days after the acquittal of George Zimmerman by saying he should put a hoodie on and come to my neighborhood.
Well, that's
a white
nice.
Officer.
Fuck off.
Put a hoodie on and come to my neighborhood. You'll see, the cop said to the black teenager.
It's just alarming, man.
These are just some of the highlights of the DOJ report.
God, if you're a white person listening to this show, living in America in a fucking suburb or something, I get it. You watch the television, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I know cops. They're nice to me. Well,
right, and they're going to blame...
Your fucking experience isn't everyone else's, okay?
And they'll blame the citizens. They'll blame the people. Well, it's because the Negroes are so violent and criminalistic.
Yes.
Criminalistic.
That's what I see on Law and fucking Order every night. Jeez.
Why wouldn't you stop all the black ones? They're the ones committing all the crime.
Not every cop is Jerry fucking Orbach, okay?
So that's the headline over at the HuffPo. Let's see.
Jesus Christ.
What the drudgers are drudging up. And finding...
Oh, it's going to be that murder about the fucking Hillary Clinton thing, right?
That'll be amazing.
Not Paul Ryan winning or whatever?
Oh, no. Oh, where does this go before I click on it? Oh, well, CNN. Let me see what the actual story is before. Again, I read the headline from the Drudge Report, which is always has little to do with the sometimes the actual truth. It says the headline of the Drudge Report, it's red, so that means it's really, really important. It says DOJ blocked Clinton Foundation probe.
Probe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, shit.
Newly released Clinton emails shed light on the relationship between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation, it says. Judicial Watch, conservative watchdog group, released 296 pages of emails from the Democratic presidential nominee, including 44 that Judicial Watch says were not previously handed over to the State Department. How does Judicial Watch have these? The emails, many of which are heavily redacted, raise questions about the Clinton Foundation's influence on the State Department and its relations during her tenure.
Okay.
Oops. The emails were obtained by the group, through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. The Trump campaign seized at the new batch of emails, of course, citing them as more evidence of Clinton being corrupt.
Oh, my God. Clinton's corrupt, by the way, not Trump. Not at all. No corruption.
In a 2009 email, somebody instructs somebody else to put a Clinton Foundation donor in contact with the State Department substance person in Lebanon. Well, that doesn't... I mean, if they met somebody through the Clinton Foundation that could help or was an influential player in the politics of a certain area.
Yeah.
Influential businessmen maybe donated or whatever. Why would you maybe not use that contact? It'd be, you know, hey, if you ever have any issues in my part of the country, let me know. And the Clinton Foundation would be like, hey, well, this one guy we know.
Right.
I mean, I don't think there's anything. It would be much bigger headlines if there was anything untoward really in them. Giving people meetings. Hey, this guy knows his shit.
But that's enough for these right-wing nut jobs. All they need is a few instances. They connect the dots and their fucking little brains.
And they're drip-feeding it. You know, they're not going to put everything out all at once. They want death by a thousand cuts, hopefully. That's the only way.
They're going to let all the Trumpalos absorb every little bit of information. Digest it.
Well, they know the Trumpalos are sold.
Oh, yes.
None of this is for Trumpalos. This is all for people who might be on the fence.
Yes. Which, how could you be on the fence between Trump and Hillary? That's insane.
But while they're trying to kill her campaign by a thousand cuts,
yes.
Trump is cutting himself with a chainsaw every day. He's cutting his own campaign.
He's bananas. He's fucking bananas.
Out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. That's the headline over at the Drudge Report. They think they've got Hillary this time. Thank God, just when Trump was looking bad about this Second Amendment-y thing, fortunately, they release a few Hillary emails. What a coincidence. Isn't that a coincidence?
Oh, yeah.
That the day after one of Trump's latest horrible bullshit things that he said out of his yaw, that they happen to have another little blast of emails to drop to try to alleviate, I think, some of the blood squirting out of the campaign.
Squirt. Oh, my God. You know what? I think I have to make a fucking phone call for work. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you've got a day job.
Well, you know,
crabdiving.com/Amazon. Buy shit from our Amazon hole.
I got to call that car dealership again.
Oh, my God. This has been quite a saga going on today, ladies and gentlemen.
Damn it. Fuck me.
So that's the headline over at the Drudge Report. Of course, the not big on the list over there at the Drudge Report, but everywhere else pretty much is this stuff, the continued backlash over what the orange dude said about the Second Amendment remedies that he suggested. He's saying he didn't suggest it. Toadies are
right,
running around
bitter,
and saying
clinging,
various different things
our guns, our God,
about
our,
what it
our
meant.
No. It was a
unification thing.
Tell
he meant
us that we're
about
not right
all
enough.
Tons
yeah,
of
from
Second
the
Amendment,
establishment,
loving
right.
humans, the God fearing, gun grabbing, right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers. No, that's what Trump meant. He meant that all we need to do is to get all the Second Amendmenters together to vote in mass, and that that'll be able to destroy the evil candidacy of Hillary Rodham Clinton, and she won't be able to pick these judges. But that's not what he said. It's not what he said. If you listen to the exact words, he said, Hillary Clinton, if she's elected, she'll abolish the Second Amendment, which isn't true. No one's ever said that. She's never hinted at it. Maybe some comprehensive gun restrictions and some sane gun laws. Oh, yeah, maybe. No, but nobody's coming for your guns, you assholes. And he said, if she gets to pick her judges, there's nothing you can do. Here's the little clip of what Trump said yesterday. Listen to his exact words. He is not saying all the Second Amendmenters are going to vote together in a block, and that's how we defeat Donald Trump yesterday.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick... If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is. I don't know. There's no other way to interpret what he said. But they're trying. They're really trying to spin what he came out with. It's really amazingly sad what some of these assholes are out. Even on the CNN, the thank you. Even on the CNN, they went after Katrina. What's her name? Katrina something or other. The ninny, the spokesperson for the Trump campaign, who has been out there really taking a lot of the flack and saying some of the even the most moronic, dumb things about some of these excuses for what Donald Trump has saying is, and has been saying out of his stupid orange face. Ryan will be back in a minute or two, ladies and gentlemen. He's dealing with some bullshit that's going on. Katrina Pearson is her name. Here is Katrina Pearson a little bit. Here's from a segment on the MSNBC, and they're talking about Trump's words that I just played for you. Here's Katrina Pearson, spokespoobah of the Trump campaign, explaining it away for you.
There. Let's turn now to national spokesperson for the Trump campaign. Katrina Pearson is with us. And let's talk more about this comment, Katrina. I know you've explained that Trump was talking about unifying Second Amendment supporters, getting them to the polls to stop Hillary Clinton. We just heard Katie Ter say that the campaign today is calling it a joke. Which is it?
Well, I'm not sure where the joke narrative came from, but the campaign itself issued a statement last night talking about the political power of the
Trump himself at one point, I think during this whole process, said it was a joke. It was a joke. Of course it was a joke. It was a joke. Mm-hmm. And now she's like, well, I'm not sure where this joke narrative came from. The Trump campaign released an explanation right when it came out.
You know, sometimes when people are shitty and say stupid shit, they always say, oh, I was just joking. But jokes are supposed to be fucking funny.
Yeah, right.
How is that funny?
came from, but the campaign itself issued a statement last night talking about the political power of the NRA. This is, after all, the oldest continuous operating civil rights organization in the United States. It's been active for over 144 years.
Is she talking about the NRA as a civil rights organization? She just called the NRA civil rights organization. The NRA was formed to educate people and to teach people how to operate firearms safely and how to be responsible gun owners. It wasn't a hardware proliferation unit like it is now.
Unit.
Where everybody needs to have a gun. It didn't start that shit until like the 70s and 80s when it started to get all evil. Yeah.
Right,
and
they just advocate for gun manufacturers.
Well, right, when the gun manufacturers got a hold of the board.
Civil rights.
And started, paying off all of the politicians. That's what, and I just found out today, they said they're going to put, I think the NRA is going to donate $3 million into this next.
Oh my God.
Series of campaigns to all these different.
Are they
assholes.
Supporting a lot of great progressives or what?
I'm sure a lot of Democrats are picking up NRA endorsements.
Is it Ted Nugent a fucking board member?
Yeah, oh yeah. Ted Nugent.
Please.
A board member.
Looney.
Here's a little bit more. Katrina Pearson explaining Trump's views on what he said about the Second Amendment.
It's one of the top three political groups in Washington, D.C., and with 93 million voters and people in the country who own guns legally, there has been massive, massive support for the Second Amendment and for the NRA specifically. I mean, Kate, they have produced documentaries.
Yeah, I don't think anybody denies that.
The NRA is in Washington, D.C.
They have a lot of power, but that's not what Donald Trump's.
Listen to her explanation. They've produced documentaries on how powerful the NRA is. She's talking about this as like a benefit, how proud they are. Look how powerful the NRA is. They've made documentaries about it.
Oh, geez.
Every documentary I've seen has said it's an evil tentacle of cancerous bile that has infected our election process and our politics. Not as proudly. Well, look how powerful the NRA is.
Yeah.
God.
What was that movie Michael Moore did about Bowling for Columbine? God, the thing about that was
he went and opened a simple checking account with like a couple $100 and they gave him a rifle.
Oh, yeah.
Handed him a rifle at a bank.
And they're talking about how many guns are actually produced in this country and manufactured and how many are sold and how many permits are issued. There's a shit ton more guns out there than that are actually sold.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Said yesterday. Let's play the sound again just so we can be really clear on what he said.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick.
Oh, listen to that.
If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be.
So they've also, I saw out there, they also had an interview. They found the guy in the pink shirt in the background that's there with his wife, the older gentleman.
Yeah.
Who reacted, had the biggest reaction in the crowd behind when Trump said that. He was like, oh, wow. He said to his wife, he said he thinks he's now no longer voting Trump, and he thinks that Trump should be taken out to the woodshed.
Oh, yes.
For that one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Kinky. Jeez.
Be a horrible day.
The Second Amendment people, maybe there is something they can do. What is he suggesting?
Well, if you complete the video, he also, right after he says that would be a horrible day, he says if Hillary Clinton gets to pick the Supreme Court justices, mainly because the NRA is a bipartisan organization, and that is also left out of the discussion in the media, considering how there are even Democrats who won't touch gun legislation in an election year because the NRA has been able to take out Democrats as well, and even been able to...
She's not making their case.
Right.
She's making the case for the NRA being way too fucking popular or powerful in this country. And she's making it sound like it's a badge of honor.
How did the NRA make the leap from like teaching you how to safely operate a gun to advocating for
The gun manufacturers got members on the board of the NRA, and the corporate fuckwads started to take over the NRA. It used to be a grassroots citizens organization that helped people manage their guns and shit like that. And then it turned into, that's why famously George Herbert Walker Bush was a lifetime member, and he tore up his card during the 70s or 80s. Because he was like, this is, the NRA's gone crazy.
Right.
It's gone crazy. They no longer teach people how to target shoot and not shoot themselves. Now it's turned into
the opposite.
A corporate entity whose goal is to sell guns. That's it.
Great.
Fuck the death toll.
Block appointments to high-ranking positions, like with the ATF for that matter. So they do have a lot of political power, even beyond just turning out voters.
Right, but the thing that's confusing people, Katrina, I think, is that he's framing this. When he starts the comment, he's saying, if she's in power, if she's president of the United States, she then gets to pick nominees to the Supreme Court. So he's assuming she's in power and then says there's nothing you can do about it at that point. Well, but maybe the Second Amendment people, maybe there is.
I misspoke. I didn't mean it that way. I meant it this way. I said it wrong. I apologize. Move on. But Trump can't ever apologize, doesn't apologize. And everybody knows what he meant.
Yes.
We know what he meant. He did not misspeak. In his mind, he was thinking, well, there's nothing we can do. Well, maybe a gun nut will take her out. That's what went on in his head.
Right. This is insane.
And that's what he said. I mean, it's not open for interpretation. It's right there in front of us.
I don't know. Those are his exact words.
Absolutely.
That's well, and the that's part exactly where people what I think just he's said, inciting
talking about
violence.
Democrats. Absolutely not, because the NRA, see, this is the thing. No one is even talking about the power of the NRA on the Democrats. They have been able to stop senators from appointing people that are hostile towards the Second Amendment. And that's what he's talking about. And that would be the only way to stop something like that from happening is if the NRA were able to get out there and stop these senators from approving anyone that was hostile to the Second Amendment.
Oh, so now it's now the narrative is that the NRA, it's not getting out NRA voters. She's changed it now so that what Trump really meant was not organizing all the Second Amendmenters to get out, but that the NRA would wield its power over the senators so they would not approve the appointment of any SCOTUS nominee that evil Killary puts up that might want to rip their guns from their cold dead hands.
Oh my God.
That's her latest explanation.
God damn.
He meant the power of the NRA over the Senate.
Really, honestly.
This is 2 days later. Now they've had 2 days to try to come up with
something. Well, I mean, you gotta think about it. I don't know what you do.
You think somebody was just laying in bed and was like, oh, I got one. And they hit their BlackBerry.
Yes.
I got one. I know. What about this? He really meant the senators. The NRA, power of the senators. Brilliant! Katrina.
When he says he's hiring the best people, he's not kidding. He's hiring the people that can make up the most amazing bullshit for whatever crap he shits out and they have to clean up.
Because there's a lot of political power there, for Democrats.
So just to be clear, if others on the campaign are telling Katie Turr that this was a joke about violence, you're not saying that. You're not saying it was a joke at all. It wasn't about
I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I haven't seen anyone from the campaign say that it was a joke. The initial statement said nothing about a joke, so I'm not even sure where Katie's getting that information.
Let me play some sound, if I can, from retired General Michael Hayden. He's former...
So they continue. Let me skip ahead a little bit. The look on Katrina Pearson's face is really just amazing. It's like she's really about to take a big fistful of shit right in the face. She's red and she's ready for it.
Sign me up, guys.
She's ready for the next bite of shit sandwich. Ooh. And I feel a little tiny bit sorry for her because look what she's got to do.
Get the fuck out of here.
Look what she's got to do.
It's insane.
A do-over when he's president of the United States. I think that's what a lot of people are reacting to here. If he misspoke,
you don't get a do-over when you're president.
You don't get a do-over really on anything at that level. I mean, just like the imaginary red line over in the Middle East, and just like, you know, paying hostage money.
Oh, yeah, what about Obama?
What is the imaginary red line?
When Obama told the Assad administration that chemical weapons use is the red line, and that if they crossed it, that they would feel the full wrath of the giant of America.
And that's and a then, bad thing to say?
And then Assad gassed the fuck out of some town, and we were still like,
And then she's about to talk about this money that we sent to Iran.
Right.
Spin this bullshit narrative that's just not true.
You don't get a do-over. The guy that you're representing is an out-of-control...
loony.
Yeah, he's just a giant sphincter of spewing diarrhea.
You know, I mean, what she's saying is total bullshit, and it's... I mean, why would you want to help this guy? I guess she's getting paid handsomely. What else could you say? I can't think of a better explanation other than he was joking or not. No. He's not joking. He's speaking in... I don't even understand.
Well, yeah, neither does... Listen to this.
Talking about policy. He wasn't talking about implementation of policy. He was talking about what would happen if Hillary Clinton were to be elected, and he was absolutely right.
I'm speechless because I'm trying to follow your logic here, Katrina, and I'm having a hard time.
I can tell.
Is there?
I can tell.
What a condescending
I feel ya.
Little asshole.
I feel you.
Oh, yes.
I think she's agreeing with
really?
Her. I think she's like, I get it.
God.
I have to say this shit, and I don't believe it either.
Today, you know what you say? You know what Trump says to these little minions? He says, listen, you earn your money today. You figure this out. Take the beach or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I'm so fucked up.
I'm speechless. I'm trying to follow your logic here. Is what the MSNBC host here, Kate Snow, had to say.
It's totally fucking bonkers.
And here, in fact, is the gentleman I was talking about. His name is Daryl Vickers of Oak Island, North Carolina.
Yes.
This is on the CNN. He's being interviewed by Brooke Baldwin over at the CNN. This is the guy in the reddish pink shirt sitting behind Trump who made the visible gasp and wow when Donald said his Second Amendment bullshit. Here is the clip from the CNN. Soon as it loads. Loading.
And in the shadow, out of the shadows today, we found you, Daryl Vickers. We have found you in Oak Island, North Carolina. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Brooke.
All right, so the world watched your jaw drop. I want you to tell me what were you thinking?
He's rolling his eyes and shaking his head. He's like, I can't even tell you.
To tell me what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking exactly what I said to my neighbor, Connie, and that was, I can't believe he said it. The media will have a field day with this one. I was just absolutely taken aghast.
Said it meaning what? What was your immediate visceral interpretation without hearing everyone chatting?
A little turd crowned in my pants. I was so upset
about it.
Well, Trump has got a very unique personality, he makes jokes off the cuff. And one of the things, had we had a chance to talk to him, I would have taken him to the shed. Down here in the South, we don't curse in front of women. We don't drink liquor in front of the preacher, and we don't make
the preacher, I'm sure, has his own share. We don't drink liquor in front of the preacher.
What?
We don't swear in front of women. We don't drink in front of the cheap preacher.
We don't pull the mask off the Long Ranger's face.
Yeah.
And we don't mess around with Jim.
Don't blow a load in the eye.
Is this from he sounds like he's from Little Abner.
North Carolina.
Hey, boy.
Don't curse in front of women. We don't drink liquor in front of the preacher. And we don't make jokes like that in public. Now, we may do things in private. We may go to the shed and drink some moonshine or something like that. But we would have taken Mr. Trump to the shed and said, don't say things like that because people will misconstrue it.
Oh, so he might still be an apologist for Trump. People are going to misconstrue it. Misconstrue it.
That seems like not the explanation. He's saying all these horrible things, they're meant to be said behind closed doors in the shed.
Right.
Because it's how we really feel. We just want to keep it to ourselves. It's not a great explanation, is it? I mean, I don't know. God.
But a typical of a Trump kind of apologist, I guess, then. I thought he was bailing on the guy, but
oh yeah,
he seems to be making a... Oh, we were taking him to the shed, said, you can't say that.
Fuck you.
Slap him on his little orange wrist. If you can find it.
All right.
So, this morning... The Donald apparently wrestled away, or he figured out the new password on the Twitter account or something, because I think Donald Trump is obviously in charge of his Twitter again.
Oh my God.
And today he finds himself in epic battle with the person whose name I just accidentally said.
Oh, Lemon?
Don Lemon.
Somebody needs to take Trump's fingers away from his tiny little hands, maybe. That might help.
On CNN tonight, Republican congressional candidate named Dan Bongino is a Trumpalo who appeared on CNN tonight.
Yes.
To try to somehow defend the Second Amendment bullshit. That
right.
He said yesterday. And Don Lemon actually got him. Don Lemon got all fired up and said, what you're saying right now makes no sense. I'm sitting at home. I'm watching Donald Trump. I have two ears. I have two eyes. I can see the reactions. We're not stupid. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, shit.
That's what Don Lemon said to the guy.
Oh, my God.
Bongino said, I'm ashamed that you're talking to me as if I'm a child. And angrily continued shouting, you don't know crap about this, Don. You're a TV guy. I was a Secret Service agent. Now cut off my mic. What do you want to do?
Oh, my God.
These are the Trump people. This is the civil discourse of the Trump people.
Do we want this? Never mind. Of course we don't. This is insane. We don't want Trump. We don't want any of his people doing anything in our fucking government.
I think I've got a little bit of the exchange if you want to hear it.
Oh, fuck yes.
I don't know. It's not. I don't have an edited version, so
oh, okay.
I just have like a 10-minute clip, so I don't have a... I apologize. I don't have a vetted version. But
unvetted.
Here's the end of it.
Maybe doesn't work that way.
Your argument would make sense if it was just Democrats who were coming out saying he meant what he meant. But Jeffrey, I'll give you the last word. Go ahead.
Well,
okay, that's the end. I think this is the end after it's all over. Anyway, so today, Donald Trump stuck his orange beak into it.
Yes,
and tweeted at D. Bongino. You were fantastic in defending both the Second Amendment and me last night on CNN. Don Lemon is a lightweight, dumb as a rock.
Hey, Trump, don't make me agree with you.
Don Lemon is a lightweight, dumb as a rock.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, Don Lemon did say that maybe that plane that disappeared somewhere in the South Pacific found its way into a wormhole, not a black hole, a wormhole.
I thought it was a black hole.
No, different. Is it? I don't know. What's the difference?
Don Lemon is a black hole.
Oh, yes.
That's a little bit of what's going on in the Trumposphere.
Oh, wow.
Again today.
Another smooth sailing. Day of smooth sailing for him for that campaign.
Big news is that former Trump licker.
Yes.
And, I mean, I don't know how he was able to scrape the the orange butt juice off of his lips.
You need a scraper for that.
And go suddenly decide that now they have to get rid of their nominee, but mourning fucking Joe.
Gonna need a little bleach over here.
Joe Scarborough.
Some scouring pads.
Of MSNBC's Morning Joe, Republican Nimrod.
I got to gargle with something.
Who has really just been an open platform for Trump from day one.
I mean,
they've been criticized.
This Joe Scarborough, he behaves as if he's on the fucking Tonight Show.
Remember that big interview they had with him early on after he started saying shitty things?
Oh, yeah.
And they did nothing but fillet him
the whole
time. They didn't challenge him.
I mean, is Morning Joe supposed to be news, or is it like the Jimmy Fallon experience? Is it news? If it's news, he should be ashamed of himself.
So now the shameless hoe, Joe Scarborough.
Listen, you hoe. Shameless hoe.
wrote an editorial that was published in the Washington Post. And he said, the Republican Party needs to start examining quickly their options for removing the Republican nominee.
Right.
Apparently the final straw was the joke.
Right.
The non-joke or whatever. Pick a Trump surrogate, whatever their explanation was for the Second Amendment thing yesterday. That was the last straw. But we were talking about this earlier offline.
Crab diving offline. How conversation.
Ludicrous is it that it's like it wasn't John McCain. It wasn't him making fun of a disabled guy. It wasn't him saying Mexicans are rapists. It wasn't him saying that women are pigs.
Yes.
It wasn't him saying that Megyn Kelly bleeds out of her, whatever. It wasn't blah, 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 blah. Keep going.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. I'll be here all fucking
Gold
day.
Gold star mom.
What about
none of that?
Making fun of the guy with the fucking
handicap. But now it's the last straw all of a sudden.
God, we've given Trump 69 chances.
Scarborough wrote, a bloody line has been crossed that cannot be ignored.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
God. This one can't be ignored.
Right. And then meanwhile, the Washington Post, it's interesting that he had his op-ed published at the WAPO, because in December, a media critic over at the WAPO said, quote, ever since mid-June, Morning Joe has had a blast yucking it up with Donald Trump. The laughs, giggles, and chuckles come when Trump tells a joke. They come when he makes an outlandish claim. They come when he introduces himself to the program over the phone. Good morning, darling, he says. They come when the topic is one of his competitors, when the topic is a man of Trump's company who is making a valiant attempt to learn English but has yet reached a level of earnest hemp, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But they're saying, basically, the WAPO called the Morning Joe out on their bullshit.
Yes.
And now Morning Joe, well, we got to get rid of him. Now we got to get rid of him.
That's right.
I'm going to put on my pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
And write an op-ed for the WAPO.
Give me my flannels, the one with the little footsies. Is it true? Sometimes Joe Scarborough, does he wear footed pajamas on set?
Now,
give me my fleece.
This is kind of all over the media. And I think maybe the libs are getting their liberal undies all in a bunch, maybe over nothing over this one.
Really?
There was an exchange between Mika and Joe.
Yes.
Over at the Scarborough Report. And Mika was yapping, calling out Paul Ryan for not finally just denouncing Trump and divesting himself and saying, look, I can't support this guy.
Sure. By the way, congratulations, Polly. Good job.
Congratulations on your schlonging of your tea loony.
Nice schlong.
Of the tea loony that it was like 80-something percent.
Right. Now get back on the Nordic track.
So Mika was talking, and then in the middle of it, Joe interrupts her, and he keeps saying, No, you got to stop.
Right.
You're a Democrat. It means nothing. Let me say this to you. It means nothing coming from you. You're a Democrat. But I, I, And then she gets all pissed off. She's like, excuse me?
Right.
And so some of the headlines on the lib blogs are like, Joe Scarborough dismisses Mika's political analyst that analysis because she, it says, means nothing because she's a Democrat. But he, what he's saying, even I got this.
Yes.
As much as I loathe Joe Scarborough.
Yeah.
That he's saying the people you're talking to Paul Ryan and you're talking to the Republicans.
Yes. The GOP.
They're not going to listen to you.
The loons. No, of course not.
Because you're a mincing liberal Democrat. And that's when he's like, let me tell them.
Right.
So he's really interrupting her by saying, you're wasting your breath. They're not going to listen to you. What you say means nothing. Let a Republican say it. And that's when he comes out and says.
Yeah, he's not saying Meek is dumb or anything like that.
But she gets all pissed off. And then at the liberal blogs, there's a lot of them who are like, Joe Scarborough dismisses Mika because, quote, she's a Democrat, unquote.
You know,
but it's not.
If I was in a heated debate with the guy on television and he said that to me, I probably would have had the same reaction because, you know.
Halperin, everybody, just stop. He can't stop. This is proven again and again and again and again. He can't stop himself. He is a train wreck going 1,000 miles an hour. It is about the Republicans around him now. The story is about you. And I don't mean to have a nasty tone when I say to Paul Ryan.
Now, see, she says the story is about you. Now she's getting ready to address the Republicans.
Yes.
The story is about you, Republicans. And here Joe starts to kick in and be like, all right, you're going to waste your breath.
Right.
Him now. The story is about you. And I don't mean to have a nasty tone when I say to Paul Ryan, go home and spend time with your family. Let me say this, okay?
Because it means nothing coming.
See, you're a Democrat. Let me say this.
Right. I get what he's saying. Because
it means
what
nothing coming from you. Yeah. So I really don't. Shame on the liberal blogosphere for getting their panties in a bunch over this. Because I don't. I loathe Joe Scarborough.
Well,
I think he's an asshole wrinkle, but I don't get why everybody's ready to just jump on him. He didn't. It's not what he said. We're better than this.
Lord and Lady Asshole Wrinkle.
There's plenty this shit drizzle says day in and day out for 3 to 4 hours in the morning that we can jump on. We don't need to get all sanctimonious over something that didn't happen.
Right. I mean, you know.
Nasty tone. You're a Democrat, Mika. Let me say this, okay?
Because it means nothing coming from you, okay? You're a Democrat.
Excuse me?
It means nothing coming from a Democrat to these Republicans.
Well, actually, the Democrat.
It means nothing coming from a Democrat to these Republicans. The man just explained it.
That makes perfect sense
right.
to me.
Are going to win the election. So if you actually have a flying chance, you're going to have to do something that makes sense.
Let me say this to my Republican Party. You are letting Donald Trump destroy the party. And you've done it from the beginning. We've said from the very beginning when he started blowing himself up, when Paul Ryan endorsed him, that it's only going to get worse. And it just keeps getting worse, doesn't it?
And when I say go home and spend time with your family, I mean look at your children in the eyes, look at your wife in the eyes, and really ask if you are doing the right thing, because you were doing the wrong thing by supporting this candidate. You were doing the wrong thing 10 times over. You're hurting this country for your political benefit, and you're making the wrong play even in terms of your political benefit. And I'm sorry that I'm a Democrat and it means nothing coming from me.
See, now that's where she's off the rails. She was doing well.
Absolutely.
But now she's in a snit over the fact that it's because I'm a Democrat and it means nothing coming from me. He's got a point. They're not going to listen to her. They immediately will look at her and discount everything she says because she's obviously a Hillary shill.
Absolutely. And she's a woman. You know, there's sexism there.
But I'm telling you, that's how this story ends.
Don't get mad at me here.
I am.
You're mad
at me? Fine. A little bit, yeah.
I was making a point that they're just going to say, oh, you're a Democrat.
Okay, well, good. When I turn out to be right, like I have been every step of the way, you all can enjoy saying it means nothing coming from me. We end this block.
No. You're not going to do that. I was simply making the point that they're listening to you. And a lot of them laughing. Might be saying, oh, she's just a Democrat. So I was going to say, as a Republican, I agree with your sentiment. Let me say it. I think you've made your point, and I think I've made my point.
Okay.
So I wasn't cutting you off.
There you go. Here's a little bit of the Morning Joe. That sounds so like our great. Neighbors almost.
Okay. No. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Not at all, dude.
What was this morning? You're the worst fucking person in the world.
Like, it was or something. Funny. You're
the worst fucking person.
You're a
in
horrible
the,
person.
You're a horrible fucking
you're
person.
You're a horrible fucking person. Well, listen, neighbor, if you're listening to Crab Diving, which I hope you are.
Thank you for the listen.
We'd like everyone
thanks for
to
the,
listen.
Thanks for the entertainment in the morning.
And the truth is that guy probably is a horrible person, and you probably are too. What do you want? You want to, who wants, what do you want from that? Yeah, everybody's horrible. What do you want?
So there you go, a little battle going on Morning Joe.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. They're so like, condescending toward each other and sarcastic. Yeah,
they've been doing it for a long. Well, yes. the rumors are that
they hate each other.
Can luminol that each other? No. What? Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's allegedly Joe penis prints all over Mika's pudenda.
Pudenda. You think at the end of the shoot, they're like, "All right, that's a wrap. Check the gate. Okay, Joe and Mika, go fuck it out."
Yeah, go fuck it out. I've got, what else is going on here? This is kind of funny. Newt Gingrich.
Newt.
You may have heard of him.
Fuck you.
He has a line of books.
Oh, yes.
And videos and everything. And
Aren't you sad that he's not the VP candidate?
Sad, yeah.
That would have been great. Great theater.
Well, he was on the, he was being interviewed by the New York Times.
Oh, shit.
And the New York Times reporter, whose name is Michael Barbaro.
Hello, Michael.
Spoke with him about Trump.
Yes.
On a podcast.
Oh, what a bunch of whores. Oh, I'm on a podcast. Here's a gold star.
It's a New York Times podcast,
ooh,
I guess.
Ooh, fancy.
I guess they have a new...
oh, shit.
Everybody, any asshole can have a podcast
right
now.
By the way, listen to crabdiving.com. If you want to spread the crabs, support the crabs, go to crabdiving.com/Amazon. And anything you purchase on Amazon, we get a little taste of, and it doesn't cost you a dick.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Don't send us any dicks.
Send me a bag of dicks. You can actually do that. You know, you can go on Amazon and buy a bag of dicks.
You can buy a bag of dicks to sell somebody.
Yeah.
Multi-flavored.
Yummy.
So... from a transcript I'm reading.
Okay.
This is how this went. Barbara said to Newt Gingrich, does Neat. Donald Trump have the mental fitness?
That's a weird term, mental fitness.
The kind of psychological suitability
okay
to the office of the presidency?
No.
And it says, pause. Yeah. And my answer would be, sure. and the reporter says, wait, sure?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure. Sure. This is Gingrich. I mean, he is at least as reliable as Andrew Jackson, who was one of the most decisive presidents in American history. Nobody would have predicted Abraham Lincoln's capabilities before he became president. And most people didn't believe him while he was president. And Barbara says, can you be more forceful than sure? Pause. I think that Trump has a willingness to break up a system which is decaying. I think the kind of personality that is prepared to be outside the total establishment and have the self-confidence to take on the establishment of both parties is a personality with which, by definition, will not be normal.
Holy fucking hell. That guy is good at what he does.
It will not be a good corporate managerial go along and get along kind of guy. And that's what you guys mean by temperament.
Holy shit. You see, that's why he was in power for so long, right? That's how God, what a slime ball.
And Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, anyone is going to know. Andrew Jackson was, like, way slavey and shit.
Why do we know of his fucking temperament?
And he had a duel. The president yeah. had a duel.
Well, I mean, I could see this one doing that. Going out in the backyard, firing off
never,
some guns.
Never.
Shit.
No guns aimed at him. He'd do an execution.
No, that's true.
Never a no guns aimed back at his big orange,
yeah, fuck
blobbish,
that.
Saggy body.
I got Snickers to eat, and later on I'm going to sit home and watch TV. That's what he does.
And the whole people didn't understand Lincoln. Nobody understood him. They didn't get him.
Can we have a reference that's from the era of electricity? Please.
He compared Trump to Lincoln.
Can we have somebody, can you mention somebody that was alive for penicillin? Do you have an example?
Well, and Lincoln.
Right.
I mean, Lincoln.
You're comparing Trump to Lincoln. That's stupid.
You can compare him to Andrew Jackson and say, wow, you know, he was very much like Grover Cleveland and a little bit like Pierce.
How
and people would look at you and be like, oh, okay, great. Because people don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Was he like Grover Cleveland Alexander?
And what?
Isn't that a president or is that a baseball player?
No, Grover Cleveland
was a president. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, was he like some president? No shit about. God.
So, Newt Gingrich responding with a rousing, yeah, sure. Trump has
the
personality and the temperament.
He doesn't answer the question. He just says something. See,
sure.
I think I'm figuring this out. Instead of answering the question, you stop and you just say a statement that demonstrates a quality that might be related to the question in which you're asking. Is that how you handle this?
It's amazing jujitsu, verbal jujitsu.
It's like you're exhausted after you hear all that bullshit. You on some level, you're like, I agree with you. I don't want to go there again. It's so confusing.
Right.
My mind hurts from your bullshit.
What else is going on? I've got another story. We can hop off the Trump train for 5 or 6 seconds. I'm sure I'll find something within
moments.
Oh,
yeah.
But this is a story out of the sovereign, wonderful, beautiful state of Florida.
Oh, shit.
Where they've got that really great law, that stand your ground law, Ryan.
Oh, okay.
Very important. Move ahead for Second Amendment freedoms and rights.
Right. Now, Trayvon Martin. Good God. Martin.
Right.
Amazing. He died because he had Skittles in his pocket and he's wearing a hoodie.
You used to have to, by law, make every effort to avoid using lethal force.
Yes.
Even if you felt threatened, if there was a chance for you to escape and avoid using lethal force, if you did not do that and use lethal force, then you were guilty of a crime.
Right. Because
you could have bailed on the situation.
Absolutely.
Stand your ground means I don't have to move.
Fuck
if
you.
I feel threatened, ba-bang, ba-bang, ba-bang.
Eat my dick, boy.
And it's been misused. We've had a bunch of stories where assholes have pulled out guns or have shot people. The guy that killed the black kid in the truck at the gas station.
Yes.
Because they were playing loud music. Mm. I felt threatened. Bang, 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 bang. As he unloads a clip into the car full of black kids.
Wonderful. Great people skills.
Well, now, a gunman by the name of Sean Barnes.
Hey.
Is asking that the courts dismiss his attempted murder charges.
Okay.
Because he was defending himself and in fear for his life in a Denny's bathroom when he shot his ex-girlfriend in the face.
They were in the same bathroom?
Ex-girlfriend in the face.
Did they get in a fight over the diaper-changing table or something?
He followed the ex-girlfriend into the women's bathroom.
Right.
And shot her in the face because he felt threatened, Ryan.
Yeah, that's a weird defensive move.
He's claiming that he saw her grab a shiny object out of her purse when he opened fire.
Okay.
Striking her in the face. She lived. It shattered her jaw.
Ouch.
Jeez. She will be testifying in court today that he tried to kill her.
What do you think they were? Did they have the grand slam or what did they order? What's your favorite thing? You like that grand slam, don't you?
I design my own slam. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, jeez. Elitist! Nobody's, liberal!
Nobody slams me from a menu.
Oh, jeez.
Days before the attack.
Yes.
This sounds like they could be our neighbors. Yeah. Allegedly.
God.
They were screaming at each other, and he told her, I bought a new gun and would love to use it on you and make it look like an accident or self-defense.
He, you know what? This guy needs to hire Trump's people to have him explain how that's a joke. He was being funny. I'm speaking in hyperbole.
The Miami Herald says the Stand Your Ground law was ratified 2005, widely criticized for fostering, quote, trigger-happy vigilante justice and giving killers a way to beat murder charges.
Oh, shit.
The law eliminated a citizen's duty to retreat before resorting to using deadly force. It also gave judges, before the case is even heard by a jury, greater leeway to grant immunity to someone they find acted in self-defense. So even before it gets to a jury, a judge can say, well, I think that was kind of self-defense-y. We don't even have to send it to the trial.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy with the gun.
Yes.
Is trying to convince the court that his girlfriend that he shot, that she has a long history of acting dangerous and unstable, saying that two prior relationships of hers ended in restraining orders against her.
Oh, man.
These sound like upstanding citizens.
God damn it. I mean...
He says after they broke up, she stalked him. She set fire to furniture on his porch, slashed his mother's tires, and hacked into his Facebook account.
Slashed his mother's tires?
This is all alleged.
Gosh. Wow. You know what it sounds like? It doesn't sound like a girlfriend or
The two lovebirds took out mutual restraining orders on each other at one point.
That's pretty hot.
He claims he had to change his phone number more than 10 times.
Okay.
To stop receiving abusive texts and calls from her.
Can't he just block the number?
Don't ask me.
Okay.
Inexplicably, the two agreed to meet at the Denny's on Biscayne Boulevard, Miami.
What about Zika? Be careful.
At which point, the two had to be separated by restaurant staff after they began to argue.
over moons over Miami.
Right.
Oh my God.
She left the restaurant and then she returned.
Yes.
To use the restroom. But the defense team says she threatened Mr. Barnes and then went to the restroom.
Okay.
She says she just went back to use the bathroom before she left. At which point, he pushed open the door with a crazy look on his face and shot her.
And that's self. This is his story about how he was defending himself.
Right. From the police report from the night of the incident says that she was not armed with any weapons and did not know why he shot her in the face. But he's claiming, stand your ground. That he followed her into the bathroom and it looked like she was pulling something shiny out of her purse.
Was it a bag of Skittles?
I don't know.
I mean,
makeup mirror?
A makeup mirror.
Maybe her keys?
You know, with a mirror, you know what you can do? A lot of sadistic kids used to do this. You catch the mirror with the mirror. You catch the sun at the right angle and you can fry fire ants. You know, people actually do that. How fucked up is that?
Well, you need a convex mirror or a magnifying glass, because a flat mirror will just reflect the light. It won't
Bill Nye,
concentrate the light at all.
Should you be somewhere making fun of Ken Ham?
I apologize. The Lord would be mad at me for speaking the evil science.
God, what a...
So, you know, congratulations on these fucking stand your ground law. Where do these come from? The NRA.
The NRA wants to turn a shitter at Denny's into the okay fucking corral, right?
Yeah.
Boy, you know, life is full of surprises. One day you're going to Denny's, you're ordering I don't know what they ordered. Did they say what they ordered? I don't know why I give
that
a fuck.
I don't have those details.
I go to Denny's a lot. I like Denny's.
They might not have gotten that far. It sounds like they started fighting
sucks.
Pretty early.
that fucking sucks. Always eat your food. You know, if they had eaten their food first, maybe they would have settled their stomachs. You know, they could have, you know,
I don't know. Self-defense.
Right.
He followed her to the bathroom and shot her.
Shot her in the face.
Because
he felt threatened.
This guy's a monster. How does this fucking mentally ill person get a gun anyway?
There's that. I don't have any information on whether he legally was carrying or not.
All right, now the NRA or who is anyone blaming the gun? Fuck you.
This is out of this is a story that was over at we don't talk this much about.
They should have went to Waffle House. It never would have happened.
Right. We don't talk about barbed wire that much, but over at Barbed Wire.
That was a Pamela Anderson movie. You remember that?
This is not. This is Matt Barber. He's a batshit crazy right-wing nut job. Not 100% Alex Jonesian level crazy.
Yes.
But around there. Like
he's out there,
I put him between Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones.
Oh, interesting.
On the asshole scale.
Okay.
Well, over at Barbed Wire, an article was published in. It's fucking hilarious. I don't want to read the whole thing. We'll put a link to it in our blog post. Go to crabdiving.com. But this guy by the name of Dr. Don Boys.
Oh, my God. Dr. Boys?
Dr. Boys.
Oh, man.
Who has a new book out called Muslim Invasion, The Fuse is Burning.
That's not at all published, sensationalistic, you know.
Published by Barbed Wire Books.
Oh, my God. Who's reading your book? Is this a coloring book?
An ebook edition is also available.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure you can go to Amazon. Go to crabdiving.com/Amazon if you're desperate to read.
Go buy the book made by a guy named Dr. Boys. If you're going to be a guy and you're in the public, you know, you're an author and a, you know, authority on something, being a lunatic, change your name. Don't be Dr. Boys.
Maybe,
be anything.
Maybe he changed it to Dr. Don Boys.
Oh, wow. I never thought of that at Vile Experience.
How do you know what's going on?
Creepy! I don't know what's going on, obviously.
Here's the biography of Dr. Don Boys. Dr. Don Boys was born
Fuck
in
you.
West Virginia.
Ate my dick.
Following his salvation as a teen. He preached on the streets of Huntington.
All right. Hand me a rattlesnake.
In the jails, in the parks,
oh, God.
And in the missions.
Congrats.
He entered Moody Bible Institute. I believe that's in Illinois, isn't
it? Oh, I've been to Moody Bible Institute. I used to...
Did you record some shit there?
The Left Behind series.
There you go.
Part of it, right?
Moody Bible Institute, immediately after high school, was married, continued his education at Tennessee Temple College, Emmanuel College, and Heritage Baptist University, where he earned his PhD.
You know, I used to hang out at Moody Bible Institute in downtown in Chicago. They had a nice campus, and you could kind of just walk in, and if you kind of kept a low profile, nobody noticed that you didn't belong there. You could just hang out, you know, use their electricity, fucking, they had nice big...
Use the glory holes in the bathroom.
Yes, absolutely.
While an evangelist and Christian school administrator, Boys was elected to the Indiana House of Representatives.
And he wrote what book? Muslim Invasion? That's
the most recent. He also has a book called The God Haters. Click here to order the printed version, it says.
I need a hard copy of this fucking thing.
His wife of 33 years died in 1987. And he remarried a year later.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Sounds like...
He and his first wife had four children, now all married, right. And all are in full-time Christian work. Pass down the snake oil recipe.
Yeah, why do you want to get out of this business? Why do you want to get out of this business? Unless you're going into to the casino business. What other business is better than Jesus' business? No business, really.
While in the Indiana House of Representatives, he was identified by the media as, quote, the most conservative member of the General Assembly in Indiana.
Good. Fucking God. Now, is it true every Easter he would self-crucify himself to a couple of 2x4s? I'm so pious. Fuck you.
Terrifying. Anyway, so Dr. Don Boys done writ. A screed over at the Barbed Wire, and
Is it
it's
crazy?
Hilarious as fuck. I first thought the Republican National Convention was a dream, then realized it was a nightmare. Surely, Trump and GOP leaders are not so uninformed, unconcerned, and unaccountable that they would have a Muslim and a Sikh pray at their convention and have a homosexual speak to them! Exclamation point.
Oh, man. What a nightmare.
He's losing his shit because at the RNC, in 4 days of yapping, they also had a ridiculous pretend Muslim go up.
Right.
They had a Sikh who prayed.
You think they were pretend?
And
do you think they were hired at a general casting?
They had a lesbian. I believe it was. Who was spoke it? To them.
The lesbian.
Yeah, she was a
GOP lesbian?
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
So then he goes on in parentheses. Sikhs teach their gurus are equal with God. Reincarnation. Humans are born good. Good deeds are necessary for salvation. Do not believe Christ is God. All religions lead to heaven and other heathen teachings. Did you notice that one of the heathen teachings is humans are born good?
Oh, wow. We're not born evil.
How sick and twisted is this really, oh, this American shit. Christianity of everyone's born a filthy, perverted, sinner. Evil, horrible sinner.
No, all you got to do is get washed in the figurative blood of Jesus, then you're good to go.
Yeah, let Jesus blow his load in your eye and you're absolved of everything.
You should be happy to receive that load. God, stop it!
Can any political party be so thoughtless?
Fuck you.
The DNC also had a Muslim pray for them. Well, liberals have had a great deal of experience with stupidity, and some of their leaders are known to regularly take stupid pills covered by Obamacare.
Ruck, 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 ruck. Now, stupid pills covered by Obamacare.
Well, they're covered. Yeah, it's Republican humor. Conservative humor.
You know, I don't know. I'm sure there's stuff Republicans do better than libs, but let me tell you, you're just not as funny. You know what I mean? The joking around from the right, it usually comes off as sophomoric, lame, stupid, empty-headed, dumb, not well thought out, you know, not funny. Definitely not funny.
Democrats and Republicans embarrassingly pander to the LGBT crowd, knowing that homosexuals are beheaded in Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, etc., yet remain strangely silent.
That doesn't... What the fuck are you talking about?
Moreover, the LGBT crowd is so bereft of respect, love, and support that they permit the hypocrites to embrace them for political booty.
Booty. Political booty.
Picking up some political booty from the LGBTers.
What are you talking about? Oh, God, this is unreal.
The LGBT crowd hugs the progressives, and the progressives hug back, feeling warm and fuzzy for being so broad-minded.
They're being nice to people,
everyone's
you dickhead!
Happy, and the party picks up a few votes. So the only reason we want to have equality for everyone...
Well, you're pandering.
Including our LGBT IQ EIEIO brethren and sisterin and otherin.
Right.
Is because they want to keep... We want to keep the evil socialist, God-hating, baby-filleting Democrats in power.
So, like, God, it's so fucking stupid. So if you just extend somebody rights that everybody else has, now you're pandering.
Right.
You're pandering.
Women are third-class citizens where Muslims are in control. Yeah. Christians only want to be second-class citizens.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Third-class in Muslims. Oh, my God. Proving that Muslims are not too perceptive, they purposely antagonize women which is close to suicidal, but no one says Muslims are highly intelligent. Remember that these dudes, listen to this guy, these dudes, he's like 70. Remember that these dudes think Jews belong in the Mediterranean Sea, not in Israel. And he goes on about that it's his heroic to strap explosives to yourself.
Oh, my
God.
Et cetera,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When will some brave and soon to be politically decapitated Republican or Democrat offer a resolution that the DNC and RNC repudiate all of the above offensive anti-women Islamic positions?
Soon to be decapitated?
He says that if anybody steps up and repudiates the evil Muslimitude that is infecting our political process.
Okay.
Because they had an evil Muslim speak at the RNC. No one spoke up, Ryan.
Right.
And said,
okay,
cast that evil goat fucker and camel sucker out of this place.
Why didn't they have an event at the RNC where you draw Muhammad? I'm surprised they didn't.
Maybe when pigs learn to fly in formation and do backward somersaults over the White House, maybe. Hypocrites.
You know,
is how he ends his
right.
How Dr.
Screed, this
Dr.
is a screed.
Don Boys.
You know, Dr. Boys. I don't know. Have somebody like read your blog and maybe help you with your jokes because they're like not funny and a little. They're just. It's a long way to go for nothing. You know what I mean?
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. You should be embarrassed.
And you're too old to make pop references like, dude.
Dude, hey,
things
dude.
Like that,
dude. Does Bernie Sanders say, dude?
I don't think
so. Who knows what he's
saying. Can't imagine him.
You think Hillary does?
I think it'd be funny.
The only candidate that I think that can say dude and sort of doesn't sound insane is Trump, maybe. I guess. I think Obama could say dude. Hey, dude. He just seems young, that's all. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a generation younger than this asshole.
Dude.
Dr. Don.
Hey, dude. Fuck you, dude.
Congratulations to the Republicans in the Minnesota 2nd Congressional District.
Congrats.
Who have nominated as their nominee a gentleman who by the name of Jason Lewis.
Okay.
Who in the past has been a right-wing nut job radio host.
God.
Anybody can have a radio show.
Right. Yes, charlatan. Go to crabdiving.com/listen.
Even his own party, the Minnesota Republican Party, disavowed themselves of this guy because of the things that he has said in the past.
He must be a total
fucking
lunatic.
Example.
Yes.
In 2009, he said, real Americans believe Hurricane Katrina victims are a bunch of whiners.
Ah, God. You're complaining. Hurricane Katrina victims are a bunch of whiners.
Bunch of whiny babies.
Okay, say you live in a city on a coast, right? And all of a sudden one day, all the water comes into your city and washes your city away.
From a hurricane that you knew was coming.
And no one did anything to help you. No one else. Do you remember
nobody expected the levees to break and that kind of stuff, but they knew a hurricane was coming.
And then
once the shit hit the fan, Brownie was off. Who knows what he was doing?
Oh, he's probably attending to his horses, right?
Because remember, he was a dressage guy.
He was into the dressage, which made him well suited to be in charge of Homeland Security.
Yeah, man of the people.
That takes care of horses.
Man of the people, yeah.
He's not a man of the people. He's the opposite. He's a man of the horses. Do something with the horses. Why didn't make him secretary of fucking horses?
Remember when, didn't Mitt Romney's wife have a horse or something and a ride? It wasn't even, it's like they own slaves. Because it's not even like Mitt Romney's wife was out riding the fucking horse as a dressager. They owned a horse and they owned a rider to ride, a little tiny little short rider. To ride the horse.
Who knows anything about dressage?
I don't know if they're short.
If you punch a time clock, if you work a 9-to-5 job, any job, I don't give a fuck. If you don't own a car elevator, how in the fuck do you know about dressage?
What is dressage?
I you
it's
know
it's not where they Where they run and jump over things.
They dance.
It's where they fucking dance,
but
right?
They don't. They do jump, but it's like tiny little jumps. It's tiny little intricate little horse moves.
The horse doesn't want to be doing that. The horse wants to be running around, eating shit, eating grass off the ground, and fucking other horses. That's what the horse wants to be doing.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. That's, but, you know, the thing
it
about...
It drives me crazy when, like, there's
but
horses
dressage, dude, you don't even...
And stuff like
if
that.
If you watch it, it's not like you watch the horse do a trick, you're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. It's all tiny. It's tiny little steps and jumps, and it doesn't even look impressive. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be a dumbass, but it's like, it sucks.
Well, it's impressive because the horse doesn't want to do it. And horses aren't built to do little tap dance routines. It's surprisingly not in their evolutionary process.
Nobody evolved to tap dance, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna...
Just thinking what a Trump supporter might come up with at that moment.
Yeah, or my, yeah. By the way, speaking
or my
of
father
Trump,
given that given.
Yeah, speaking of Trump, you know who evolved to tap dance? It's fucking surrogates.
So, in 2009, that was in 2009. Last year.
Yes.
Dude said.
Dude.
Jason Lewis.
Dude.
The current GOP nominee.
Fuck you,
for
dude.
The congressional, the second district in Minnesota.
Eat a dick, dude.
He said, quote, the median income for blacks in America would make them rich in most African nations. Not most, all.
What is that about? What fucking... Dude, oh, I did it again. Dude!
Well, we're allowed to say dude.
Why?
We grew up with that shit.
Yeah.
This old fuck didn't.
Is this guy saying, like, you should be glad you're here in America rather than in Africa?
Oh, that's that. Poor people should shut the fuck up because they have heat.
By the way, you're here. Welcome for me bringing all your ancestors over in slave boats.
Right.
You're welcome.
Congratulations that you're not laying in the tundra with flies coating your eyes.
Lucky you.
You should thank the stars. That's what they say to the gays, too, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean you want to get married? If you were in Saudi Arabia, they'd be lopping off your cock right now.
I don't want to be in Saudi Arabia.
With a scimitar.
Yeah. I don't have anything to do with Saudi Arabia or Africa.
Well, it's like, yeah, how dare you complain?
It's the dumbest fucking thing you could ever say.
Yeah, it could be much worse.
You know,
worse.
If you were in the Congo, you...
Yeah.
You go to the Congo. I'm in Minnesota!
Listen to this one. At one point, he said, in fact, if you really want to be quite frank about it... Oh, wait. In fact, if you really want to be quite frank about it, how does somebody else owning a slave affect me? I know. Strap in, ladies and gentlemen. He said,
what a cunt.
In an audio commentary added to a book that he wrote called Power Divided is Power Checked, The Argument for States' Rights.
Oh, God. Suck a
dick. This is a recorded audio commentary added to his audio book. He recorded this. What... Let's be frank. How does somebody else owning a slave affect me?
So this guy wasn't in an interview, and it's not like he slipped up or he said something fucked up.
He was being interviewed
to say this.
But then he decided to keep this. Put this in the book.
What did he not keep? That's what I want
to
know.
Listen to where he goes. How does it affect me? It doesn't. If I didn't think it is right, I won't own one. And people always say, well, if you don't want to marry somebody of the same sex, you don't have to. But why tell somebody else they can't? You know, if you don't want to own a slave, don't. But don't tell other people they can't.
Wait a second. He's running for office or something?
He won the primary for the congressional district, the second district in Minnesota.
So he's telling me that listen, he doesn't own slaves. However, if I want to buy a person and own them, that's my business.
the nominee for the second district, the GOP nominee. Congratulations, white people.
Who's
of the
voting?
Second district.
Who is voting for this guy?
Well, the Republican.
You're monsters. You're wacko is what you are.
Here he is talking about, this is Jason Lewis.
This is remarkable.
This is from April. Jason Lewis talking about transgendered students and the Obama administration, what they said about them using the bathroom.
Listen, what would you change, if anything, in the educational system?
Well, let's be honest here. The government top to bottom educational system, whether it's the, you know, St. Paul or the $100 billion we spent at the Department of Education, is a wholly owned subsidiary of the government unions. Let's be blunt about this. It works for them. It doesn't work for parents and the students. We need collective bargaining reform, and if the Department of Education isn't willing to push that, then the Department of Education ought to be abolished.
All of our educational problems are because of the evil unions wanting their pensions and shit and their health care and wanting teachers to not have to teach rooms full of 50 fucking people and wanting teachers to not have
Listen, when you start from this, I don't own slaves. But if you want to own a slave, that's your business. How is he going to come out on the right side of any issue?
You got a point.
It's nuts. What are they? Are they? What is it?
The Department of Education ought to be abolished. Reagan ran on tuition tax credits. If you homeschool or you send your child to a Catholic school or a parochial school, well, you can deduct that on your tax return. We might want to look at that. But what happens when you allow this consolidation of power in St. Paul or Washington, even worse, is you start to get these experimental schemes with our children. Now the latest is allowing trans...
Experimental scheme. So now he's about to say that allowing transgendered students to use the bathroom of their choice is a scheme.
It's an experiment. It's like a, what is it? Like a scientist walking around in a laboratory? I've got a beaker and fucking Bunsen burner. Here's an experiment. I'm going to let somebody pee.
Right?
You just want to pee, you dick.
I want to see how many fake women it takes to stick their penises in our little white girls as an experiment in the bathrooms.
We better not hear one fucking story of one bridge or one fucking roads. I don't know what happens with roads.
They'll blame Obama. They will blame, you know, if there's one horrible disaster.
It's Obama.
Spaghetti Monster forbid. They will blame Obama.
Canyon.
With our children. Now the latest is allowing transgendered students to use the restroom or locker facility of their choice. That is an abomination that no school district should adopt.
Who's clapping?
That's me.
Were those fake claps?
No, the other clap was real.
I want to list it.
That was
people
at a debate earlier, and he won the primary now. So congratulations to the Republicans of that district.
Again, I think my
when this guy left his radio business, he told his listeners that he was going to, quote, go Galt, which is a reference to John Galt, the hero of Atlas fucking Shrugged, the Ayn Rand jerk off fest, horribly ponderous, ridiculous book. It's just not good. Even if I disagree with something, if it's good, I'll say it was well written. I don't get the Atlas Shrugged.
I don't either.
I've read it. I tried to read it actually again not all that long ago, and I just wanted to grab something hot and put it through my eyes. It was so horribly ponderous and just bad, just not great writing. Anyway,
this guy is
a
piece of shit.
If you don't know, John Galt leads a revolution of elite business owners who turn their backs on civilization to build their own society.
Oh my God.
So that they can reject paying to end evil government taxes and system.
Ugh.
Going Galt is a cry. It means someone who's going to avoid paying taxes and avoid contributing to any socialist society.
Can you, does going Galt mean if you imagine this guy's like, oh, look, there's my neighbors with the people they own. They keep them in a box in the backyard. Oh, I don't approve of it. But, you know, that's their business.
In November of 2012, this guy on his radio show said, this is why we can never run for anything in our history. Yeah,
please.
Not that I would. He said, quote, you've got a vast majority of young single women who couldn't explain to you what GDP means. You know what they care about? They care about abortion. They care about abortion and gay marriage. They care about The View. They are non-thinking.
They care about The View.
He's talking about women.
They care about The View, meaning what they're looking at?
No, The View.
The television?
The TV show, The View.
So, okay. Okay, guys, here's what we care about, women. The View, abortion, and gay marriage. That's the only thing.
They can't explain what GDP is.
Man, what an asshole. I don't know. He won a primary. Oh, fuck.
The
shit, is there something
Minnesota
in the water?
Republican Party, it says, I'm reading from Ross' story, spent a lot of time talking about how unelectable the guy was, distancing themselves from him and his past statements. What does this sound like?
Oh, gee.
It's like a little microcosm, right? Like a little sea monkeys experiment.
Are you saying this dickhead might not exist had it not been for Trump?
Well, right.
He's emboldened.
Right.
Like these fucking white supremacists David coming out Duke. Of the fucking woods.
David Duke is running for governor.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot about that. Oh, God.
He is now their candidate for Congress. This, as the Republican machine in that area was like, we don't abide by what he's saying. Now they're in the same fucking position. The Republican machine has to support an Islamophobic, women-hating, black people-hating, lunatic, Ayn Randian, taint-licking dickwad.
I mean, I don't know about that, but with Trump, don't you blame the Republicans? I mean, he's been saying horrible shit for a long fucking time, and because the good of the party, they let it go. And now they're finally saying something. Because he's losing!
How does somebody else owning a slave affect me?
Nobody explained that to him.
Well, the key in that equation is, how does somebody else owning a slave affect the slave?
Right.
Is the key person in that equation.
How does it affect me?
We don't care how it affects you.
My internet still works.
Yeah, we care about the slave in the equation.
God,
according to your alleged book that created the Declaration of Independence and created the Constitution of the United States, that all men are created equal. Well, we decided a little while ago that slaves are actually men. Not 3/5, but actual full. Some of us have decided that. Some still obviously have not.
Dude, this is before penicillin this was decided, you fuckhead. God damn.
How does somebody else owning a slave affect me?
How do you get to his district? Do you have to travel back in time to the fucking TARDIS?
And then he tried to say it's the same thing as gay marriage.
What?
His quote was, if you don't want to marry somebody the same sex, you don't have to. But why tell somebody else can't is an argument used against them. So if you don't want to own a slave, don't. But don't tell other people they can't.
It's not fucking same thing. God, you fucking idiot. Did this guy box? Did he do anything where he was struck in the head over and over? How are you such a piece of shit?
Now he's the nominee.
How did people vote for such a piece of shit?
He's the nominee. He beat out some other Republicans.
Oh, my God. Hey, if you're a Republican and you're one of the guys who doesn't have a problem with slavery, he beat you, be ashamed. I don't know what to fucking tell you. Be ashamed of yourselves. You ran a shit fucking campaign. You got beat by a guy that doesn't have a fucking problem with slavery. It's 2016.
Minnesota's second congressional district.
Where is it? Is it in a wormhole? Is it an alternative fucking dimension?
Jason Lewis won with 48.9% of the vote, by the
way. Holy fuck.
The next person down was Darlene Miller at 30% of the vote.
That's a landslide. That's a clear fucking decision.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of daylight between those two votes.
Right.
That's scary. That's some grassroots shit.
Right.
Can't George Soros go there, throw a lot of money at some fucking hippie and have this guy take over? Can't I'm afraid we're beyond the... we need Batman. We need Batman.
Well, I'm hoping that there's I'm hoping there's some kind of sanity that comes in. Otherwise, what's going on in Minnesota? Michelle Bachmann was the 6th district. So,
okay.
But what the fuck is going on in Minnesota?
Oh, God damn. Steubenville or some shit?
Stupidville? Who the fuck knows? Ugh. I mean, there's just so many of these places that
God.
You think, you know, Andy Borowitz, we shared it on our Facebook page, wrote something. He's like, I'm going to paraphrase. Okay. I don't mean to shit in anyone's cornflakes right now, but when Trump loses, all the people that love him and want to vote for him are still going to be here. It's still going to be around.
Crapping my oatmeal.
What do we do?
I don't know.
We'll try to answer that tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 on the Eastern Type Coast. If you've got an answer, tweet us.
We're
at crabdiving. Send us a message at Facebook.
Fucked.
Send us an email, info@crabdiving.com.
Yay.
Leave us a voicemail.
Oh, yes.
323-601-5427. 323-601-LIBS.
Talk to the crabs, baby.
You can also, don't forget, if you're going to buy shit, buy through our Amazon hole, crabdiving.com/Amazon.
Yummy.
Ryan's going to be doing some comedy somewhere tonight at Flappers in Burbank.
Headline
California, if you're around.
Rick Shapiro, come see.
Yeah, the amazing legend, Rick Shapiro.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.